Psalm chapter 1 today, the first psalm. If you want to turn your Bibles there, we'll be there in just a moment to read that together. Thank you, Dave, for reading that for us earlier. A game that I like to play a lot is Would You Rather? And in fact, I got to play this with our church staff for a couple of rounds earlier as we were doing some team training. So it was interesting to see how people react and interact with these dilemmas that come up. They're not very fair because neither of these, if you've ever played, you know, neither of them is ideal. Neither option is very good. And you're supposed to discuss and come up with which you would rather. And in fact, just before services today, Andrew walked up to me and he said, "So, would you rather move your beard hair to your balding head and not have a beard, or vice versa?" Such a hard choice. I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about, man." Would you rather? One that we wrestled with as a team earlier this week was, would you rather be alone for a year or never alone for a year? Ooh, you're feeling the weight of it, yeah. I don't want to name names, but Alan and I were shocked at how the rest of this ministry staff was ready to leave you all for a year, defenseless and vulnerable. But we're here for you, right, Alan? I love this game, and I think the way this ties in to Psalm 1 is it sounds a lot like this psalm to me. Psalm 1 is about a choice. There are two paths, and we need to decide which one we would rather walk down. Which one are we going to be about? Which way are we going to be pursuing? And what does that look like? I want to read this psalm together as we get started this morning, as we consider what we would rather do. This is the Common English Bible, and it reads like this. "The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instruction. They recite God's instruction day and night. They're like a tree replanted by streams of water, which bears fruit at just the right time, whose leaves don't fade, whatever they do succeeds. That's not true for the wicked. They're like dust." I don't like chafe, it's too close to my name. "It's like dust that the wind blows away. That's why the wicked will have no standing in the court of justice, and neither will sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is destroyed." Two choices. Which do you prefer? Would you rather have happiness and life and fullness and abundance and things go according to plan, or death, doom, destruction? That's really not much of a choice, is it? Like, there's not much of a dilemma there. We don't have to think very long to figure out which we would prefer. So what's it going to be? And I just read this psalm and I think, life, that sounds good, but life is rarely that simple, right? Surely it's not quite that easy. Identifying the path in real time can prove really challenging from day to day. What I've learned so far in life is there's not a Surgeon General's warning on people that I meet. You know, they have that on some things, like this product, it's going to be harmful. It's going to be negative for your health. They don't do that for people. You've kind of got to learn the hard way. There's no calorie count for my soul when I start an activity. You know, like you can pick up some food and you look at this and say, okay, well, if I put this in my body, this is what I can expect to happen. We've got to learn somewhat by experience as we practice different habits. What's going to be the result? Is this really what I want? Do I avoid spiritual heart disease by practicing this or not? And so when I think about this idea of two paths, it seems a little bit simplistic. I don't know if it strikes you that way or not, but it's almost a little offensive, like surely life is more complicated than these two paths. And it seems odd that God who is the most complex being in all the universe, says, here's what life is like. There's this path, and there's this path, and here's why it's better to choose the second. And I think maybe we should be a little bit offended by simplistic thinking, and we should avoid it at all costs. So I need some help from the Holy Spirit right now, because this could be a soapbox real easy, and I'm going to try to not make it that. So help me, Lord. We are offended by simplistic thinking, right? But then we turn around and we say, ah, this complicated situation, if I just get on social media and post a meme about it, these two sentences will clear it up for everyone. In fact, you know, what complicated situation has not been resolved by just a snarky word or two, right? There's really only one way to think about this. And if you disagree with this two brief phrases that I'm about to give you, then you must be small-minded. Like, oh, I just cringe when I see that type of an approach to life. Simplistic thinking to really complex situations that really cut to the very heart of who we are. And I just think if we are people who have found a good path and we say, here is happiness and joy, here is the Lord, then we ought to be people who are exploring ways to help people find their place and not just ways to put people in their place. And I think about how I would never, ever drive someone off the road and then speed off on my merry way. And yet I see social media hit and runs day after day. It's not intelligent conversation. It's simplistic. So I want to encourage you, and I'm going to step off this soapbox, to avoid simplistic thinking when we approach life, to see people for who they are, people on a journey trying to find a good path. And they need a little help some days, just like we do. And so what God tells us to do in Psalm 1 is meditate. He says, use your brain. Be thinkers. Be people who think well. Think on wisdom and good things, because life is complex. And yet these small daily choices add up to who we are at the end of our life and who we will be. These choices that I'm making day after day, they're going to lead me generally one way or another. And we kind of have these anchor points, right? This thing that either way I go, it's going to be really tough to move me out of it. And one of them is sitting with mockers. It's also known as the comment section on Facebook, right? One of them is that, and you get stuck in it and you just almost can't pull yourself out. The other, though, is rooted by streams of living water that flows, and it's life-giving. It's everything you love about Jesus and you want for yourself. And so there's this really simple idea in this psalm that like begets like. And if you act certain ways, you can basically expect certain results. Things produce after their kind, and that's a really good thing. You see, we assume that there's kind of a certain order to the universe, right? That's why we get upset when justice doesn't happen, because we say, no, this isn't how it's supposed to be. We can kind of assume things will go a certain way, and when it doesn't happen like that, we get a little bit thrown off. And so as I studied this kind of simple idea this week, and I prayed and I was talking to God, what do the people at Tempe Church of Christ need to learn from Psalm 1? What do we need to hear again this week? And what I kept hearing was this, that sin is a progressive disease. And it's kind of scary. Sin is something that once you get into it, it doesn't end anywhere good. It only ends with people bleeding and hurting. You may have seen the show A Series of Unfortunate Events. And these, yes, all right, now I've got somebody going. These kids are just kind of victims of circumstance. And we can be like that sometimes. But generally, life doesn't just happen to us. It happens with us as we're making choices in it. And when we get stuck with these, seated with these mockers, it's oftentimes because we've made a series of unfortunate choices, right? When I was about 20 years old, not quite 20, I guess, I remember standing on the porch in rural Arkansas of a house where I didn't know this person, and they had a shotgun pointed at me. And I thought, this is a result of a series of very unfortunate choices that I have made. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of that story right now, but it's just to say, be very, very careful what you do, because it has real results. You're walking one day, and the next thing you know, this psalm says, we're standing still, and then we're seated. And at the end of this psalm, the knees of those who listen to the mockers and the wicked, they're not strong enough to get back up. They can't stand up in the courtroom of justice and even plead their case. I love that the righteousness talked about in this psalm is about justice. It's really more justice than it is righteousness. It's right action that leads to the betterment of the community. And so when we meditate on God's word or the law, as maybe this psalmist was thinking about, it's when I'm wandering on my path today and I come across someone in need, how will I respond? It's not just about my me and God relationship, it's a communal thing. And so we kind of all start out in life like this. We're just on our merry way, and we're going to go out and we're going to be somebody, but we don't know who yet. We've got these aspirations. And yet we know that life doesn't always go according to plan. We run into trouble. Our blank slate becomes marked by people we meet and by ourselves. Our innocence slowly vanishes. We're going to get an education, aren't we? We get an education in this world. What are we going to learn? There's a movie on Amazon Prime right now that I hesitate to recommend, but it's a really good picture of what happens when people get caught up in this type of a cycle. And it's called Beautiful Boy with Steve Carell. So if you like Steve Carell, there you go. But it's about what addiction will do to your family and what it does so very quickly. And what I thought about as I watched this movie was how pervasive that becomes, and it starts touching everyone in this family system and people beyond it. And I thought about my own life where I've seen this happen with other people and I've been affected by it, but not being an addict myself, I think how my sins can be even more sinister because I can live with them for a long time before they ever show their face. And I can pretend they're not there. They're hiding beneath the surface. And yet what this psalm says is that sin is like this. It's unsustainable. It's fake news with real consequences. It's out of touch with reality. The end of it is death. This way doesn't work. It's a dead-end road. And it's fascinating to me that it's the way of the wicked that's destroyed, not necessarily the wicked themselves. But things end when we make those kind of choices. The really good news about that is that I can look myself in the mirror and I know all of my worst characteristics, they can't last. They're unsustainable. They won't work. And so my choice is, like, how painful do I want this to be as I get rid of them? How long am I going to try to live with these before I let God end that dead-end road? So they're going to go down. They don't have to take me with them, I guess is my word of hope to you. If you feel yourself stuck in something today, that those have to end. God will see to that. But you don't have to end because of that. This is a little heavy, but it's real. This is the end of sin. Is that it does end. It's death. But there's another road. There's another way to go. And so he says, there's this tree, and whatever it does, it prospers. Which kind of sounds like, well, whatever I want then, as long as I'm a good person, I get that stuff. But I think more what it's talking about is a tree's going to do what a tree's going to do, right? So if you're a good tree planted by streams of water, you can expect to get tree results. You're going to bear fruit in your season. You're going to sprout the right kind of leaves. You're going to know when it's time to rest and take a break. And it's going to be great. Whatever you do as a tree, you're going to prosper. Of course, I'm not a tree, so we've got to figure out what that means. You've got a chance to be the truly happy person that God designed you to be. And I love that. We have this unparalleled capacity. They're doing studies right now on different animals, like to try to figure out how much of the past do they remember? How far into the future can they plan ahead? And the results are kind of mixed. But we know our experience. We can live in the past for way too long. We can think way out into the future. And I think the Psalms are an invitation to think ahead, to imagine yourself. If you're continuing to do what you're doing right now, do you like where that goes? Because things produce after their kind. Are you really happy with the way life is going right now? Great. Consider your current habits. Think about this past week and what consumed your time and your energy, your last month. Are you on course to know God intimately? Are you walking in step with the Spirit? One of the phrases that I've picked up in recovery rooms is that you need to play that tape to the end. Because there's always like a piece of whatever I want that's really good, and for a moment it's great. But when you play that tape to the end, you get the whole story, and you remember the not so great results of some of our decisions. So God, give us eyes to see where this goes. And is that what I want? Do you like the fruit you're currently getting? Do you need more of that or less? And so here we are, trying to listen to God's voice. We're sitting at the feet of the greatest teacher who ever lived. We say, speak, illuminate our path. And he says, don't just hear it. I want you to speak it. And in fact, I want you to repeat it in the morning. And I want you to repeat it at night. And I don't want it to just be this rote memorization. I want it to be something where this dwells in you. You're like murmuring to yourself, how does wisdom look in my life here today? It's not just knowing the rules. It's knowing the one who gave these rules, these ways of engaging with life, learning how to think so that we're not simplistic, so that we understand when things don't go the way we thought they would, we know how to cope. How do I weigh out what's really important and what needs attention today? So I had a friend over last week, and they were standing in my kitchen, and they were asking me, how's life going for you? And I started to say fine, but I'm not allowed to say fine, because fine means feelings inside not expressed. Fine's not an appropriate response. So, you know, life is really good. And they said, well, what stresses do you have? Or, you know, like, said, well, you know, there's always like stresses with kids. Like, I never exactly know how they're going to behave or what's going to go on. One of my would you rathers today was, do I bring Maddox to church or do I leave him home with his sick mother? So I brought him. He was here. He's good. But they said, you seem like you're really patient with your kids. And I said, well, it's a lot easier when somebody's watching. When people are watching, yeah, it's really good. And I think God is always watching. He's with us. He's for us. He wants us to succeed. And those moments where we lose track of his presence, our roots have somehow not quite enjoyed that living water as much as they should have. We've gotten into just behavior modification and acting certain ways at certain times. So certain people think, we're good, we're fine, we're all fine. There's those red flags of the heart, though, that this behavior will produce more behavior just like it. And we don't want fake behavior, right? We want spiritually transformed behavior to not forget ourselves that we're trees planted by living water. I love the canals here in Tempe. They're a constant reminder of what we need to survive. You cross that canal, it's like nothing grows here without these canals. And if I'm going to live, I need to make sure I'm connected somehow to the canal that is God's living water. I'm always amazed at plumbing situations that arise because a root did whatever it took to creep along a pipe until it found that one crease, and then it got inside and it grew until you couldn't get water to move anymore. That is the desperation I want to have for the living water that God has for me. I'm planted here, I'm going to find that water. And even if I'm stuck right here, my root is going to go as far as it takes. So as we close this morning, it's been said your system is perfectly designed to give you the results you're currently getting. So if you like where you're at, great. But we need to consider whether or not these results are what we want to keep getting. Or would you rather get something else? And it just takes changing one piece of this pattern to change the whole pattern, right? Are you that truly happy person that this psalm is talking about? Do you enjoy the fruit that God is wanting to give you in its season? Are we learning to be healthier than we've ever been before? Are we listening and meditating to God's word? If you're stuck in something that seems to be crippling your spiritual growth, we want to make room for that here. We don't want to pretend that everything is okay when it's not. We want to make room to pray and walk together. So I want to make some space for you at the close of this. I'll be up front if you want to talk to me here or find one of our ministers or elders, shepherds. We'd love to give you whatever support that we can in helping you face whatever struggle that you're currently going through. So consider that as we stand and we sing this song and we pray and close this morning.